You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Happy weekend, everybody. Welcome to another Best Bits. This weekend, I am joined by a fan favorite, Mr. Scuba Steve.
A fan favorite in the intro. I love that.
Yeah, you are. You're a big favorite.
Says who?
Listeners.
Where?
I just made it up. Oh, I'm just kidding. No, listeners, especially even in my question box, they're like, oh, my favorite guest.
Oh, that's awesome. That's pretty cool. Well, thank you.
You're a fan favorite.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much. Very nice of you.
You ready to talk about some things?
No, I'm actually pretty tired and done.
Too bad. We got like 2 hours to go, buddy.
I know. Let's go.
We're just getting started.
I know.
Okay, coming in at that number 7 spot, we all shared some things that you might not know, but you probably should know about, including... one that I shared is how you can find all the photos of you on the internet. You texted me.
Yeah, I was like, where's the link to that? I want to see this.
So did you look up how many, all your photos?
No, because then I saw that you had to insert your photo into a search engine to find it. Yeah, I don't know.
That's how it recognizes your face.
Yeah, but also, where's that website and who is it that I'm giving them my photo, my likeness? What's...
listen,
like, you know those apps where Russia takes over and they take your likeness and do something?
All right, Lunchbox, calm down.
But seriously, though, who is this company? Where is that photo going?
I don't know who the company is. And you're right. I don't know. I would just take a photo that you already have on Instagram, a photo you already have on the internet, because it's already out there. It's already put out there.
It's true.
Take one of those and put it in there, because they can't do more with it than what you've already put it out there and done.
By making it available. Correct. Yes. Okay. Good
so
point.
Use one of those and then you'll be able to see like all the photos of you out there. Kind of crazy.
Okay.
So yeah, that was one of the things we shared. So if you want to check out your little online digital footprint, this helps you do that.
What was the site again?
Just so PIMEYES, PIMEYES.com.
There you go. Cool.
Trying to make sure I spelled that right.
Yes.
So how was trick-or-treating with family? We had Halloween this week.
It was interesting because we live in an area where there aren't many houses that are stacked up like a traditional neighborhood like I grew up in. So we had to drive and go somewhere, which is fine.
So did you go to a rich neighborhood?
No. Oh, I guess it's an okay neighborhood. We went to East Nashville, where it's like old and kind of creepy and all the houses.
You went like spooky instead of bougie.
Oh, yeah. We went spooky because I want to go like a fun, cool, because the last few Halloweens I've been in San Francisco at my wife's neighborhood where she grew up in, and it's like a Halloween area. It's like a traditional 1990s neighborhood, and every house goes all out with cool decorations, fun little scary things, great candy. It's a really cool vibe. It's like a block party kind of thing. No one's driving around, just kids walking and running everywhere. So freaking cool. So I want that experience for my kids now that my oldest is now 5 going on 6. He's now really understanding Halloween. And Halloween has always been kind of like a party thing for me. And it's kind of fun to see it in, through a kid's space and kid's eyes. So yeah, I went to East Nashville, very decorated, really cool and scary. And even my 2-year-old was like not afraid. I was like, wow, she's like, oh, cool. Ooh, boo. And I'm like, that's pretty freaking scary. I'd be scared out of my mind at 2.
I think you have probably warmed her up to a lot of that, if I had to guess.
Yeah, maybe, probably. And her older brother, I'm sure, is helpful in that. So yeah.
Wait, so did you dress up?
No, I didn't dress up. No,
scuba.
I wore a Disney Halloween exclusive limited edition sweatshirt.
You guys could have done like a whole family thing.
And then I wore like my awesome that I forgot to wear here to work for the entire month. I had these awesome Reebok shoes that are collaborations of Ghostbusters and Stranger Things, and they have hand drawn ghosts on there. There's only a few of them that are made in the world, and I've got one of them. And I was like, man, I had these really cool shoes. I was more like a trendy Halloween guy. And my wife was just my wife. She didn't dress up, but the kids dressed up.
Wait, so did you wear those shoes last night?
I wore them last night. Hell yeah. I looked really cool.
Those sound really cool. You should post a picture of those.
I did. I put it online.
You did?
Oh, I put it just to my, I had my kids in it. So I did just my family.
Okay. I was looking at your kids more than I was looking at the shoes in that photo. You need to post one for every one of the shoes.
I know. Okay. Yeah. I'll do that online. Yes. But my son was Sonic and then my daughter was supposed to be Tails, who's like his like counterpart and best friend.
Yeah.
But she would not put on her costume. She was not having
it. Because you and your wife weren't wearing costumes. She's like, I don't have to wear a costume.
Could be it too, but she also could be a product of me. I hated wearing costumes.
Why do you hate wearing costumes so much? What is this?
I think the one overarching theme is my family was really big into Halloween. My dad left and it was a whole bad thing. And so I had this weird resentment towards Halloween because of my family problems.
But you also love Halloween.
I love Halloween. It's one of my favorite holidays. And so,
I know. So like there's a lot of tension happening here.
I know.
Just over the costume specifically.
I know that. Well, because I've always liked like the creation and the idea about like the horror movies and all that kind of stuff. Like Mike likes horror movies. I'm on the same level as he is. Like I've always wanted to be. This is like a lifelong dream, but I feel like it's never been achievable. So I've kind of like put it in the back. But I've always wanted to be the next like horror saga character that has like 20 movies, like the next Michael Myers or the next Freddy Krueger or the next something. I feel like I'd be an awesome scary person and be really, really good at it. I don't know what it would be.
Would you wear a mask?
I would wear effing whatever they put at me. All kind,
cause I don't know that you should put that in the universe. Like you should put the dream in the universe, but not that you'd wear whatever.
Oh, I'd be down for whatever. Cause I've worked at Halloween Horror Nights where they dress you up, put makeup on and prosthetics and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's when it's like a legit, I feel like when there's a real purpose to it, besides just dressing up and getting candy and running around getting drunk, when there's an actual purpose, like a theatrical or an art purpose of making something,
that's what
then
it
I'm
is.
Invested. Cause then there's a payout, there's an outcome. I'm in a movie, I'm doing something fun and cool, but Or like Halloween Horror Nights, that's a really fun thing too as well. You get to be on these Hollywood sets and be characters through mazes. And then I get it. But if it's just putting on a costume to put on a costume, I don't care.
That's what it is. So it's not that you don't want to wear a costume. It's just nothing has struck you enough to want to dress up.
Yes. Nothing makes me go, oh, I'm so cool and excited for that. And plus my kids are so young, they don't really quite care yet.
Will you dress up with them when they start to get older?
When they get older, I think I will succumb to it, get over it, and do it for them because my family did it for me when we were growing up. So I don't want to shortchange them of the experience. But they're so young now, it doesn't really quite matter. And like one of them is an infant, so she just is like, rawr. And then the 2-year-old hates a costume.
Yeah.
So it's like, I have to wait for the older.
You have like 1 to 2 years left, especially with your first one.
Yes, the first one
oldest.
For sure. He would already do something now, I think.
Yeah.
And I think next year I may have to at least match him because he was Sonic. And he's like, oh, you should be the bad guy.
Jim Carrey.
What's his name? Crap, I forgot his name.
I know it's played by Jim Carrey, but
yes,
I forgot his name.
Yes, it is Jim Carrey. Yeah, because he's like, you should be, because his character evolves from one name to another one. Because it becomes, if you say one of the names, then I'll know the other one.
He's Dr. Eggman.
Yeah, Dr. Eggman. But then Dr. Eggman was something else in the first one. Like his something happens where he gets thrown off to some mushroom island and he goes mad and crazy and he turns into something else. So he has two different characters. The first Sonic, he's one character where he's that government agent and he's like very slick and smart. And then the second one, he becomes crazy, which is Eggman.
I think he's still Eggman though, no matter what. It's just he has two different personalities.
What's the other personality?
One and two, he both has the same name. But I do know what you're talking about because I watched both of these.
Yeah, because there's two of them where he changes into the different bad guy. But yeah, it is because his mental state changes.
Yeah, it's not as much like his actual name or character or anything.
Dr. Robotnik. So Dr. Robotnik is when he is the agent in the first one where he's
He does have different names. I wonder why they don't have it on the IMDb page.
I don't know. And then he's Eggman when he goes crazy.
Okay.
So that makes sense.
So that's what you could have been this year.
And he was like, you should be Eggman. I'm like, I should be Eggman. It'd be awesome. But then, And because his costume was so cool.
He looked really cute.
Yeah, the hair blew up.
Yeah.
Like you blow into it and it sticks up. And he was all like thumbs up. And he was like eating fake chili dogs and stuff. He was so excited and he loved it. And we didn't have our neighborhood again. Going back to that, we don't have like a trick or treat spot. So we went somewhere, but he's like five, so we went to like 15 houses, and he was done.
That was it.
Yeah, that was it. It was great because then we got to go home and we were in bed by 8 o'clock. It was awesome.
You know, I did tell you, Scuba made me go through a haunted house by myself.
Yeah, I did.
At Nashville Nightmare. It wasn't actually intended to be by myself, but Lunchbox was supposed to be there, and that's when he had gotten COVID. Yeah. So I really got screwed in that situation.
It was supposed to be a really big thing. We're going to get audio, and he was going to do some stuff with audio and all that, but it still was really cool. We were able to go through it. It was fun the way we shot it, where we had two cameras. You were holding it at your face like Blair Witch Project style, and then I was filming from behind you to get the other angle. I think it did pretty well.
Yeah, if you go to our YouTube page, you can watch it. But when we were there, the whole reason I bring this up is because I kept looking at Scuba, and he was just totally geeking out. I was like, I feel like Scuba's probably going to end up working here.
Oh yeah, that was so cool. We went through one part where I missed the guy who like did this jump scare where he was up. Remember, he was up on a block,
yes,
and he like jumped off, and he had almost like a bungee cord on him or something. And then I missed it, and I was just getting you, and I saw him do it. I saw him with my own eyes, like, whoa, it's so cool. And I was like, come back here. We got to shoot that again. And you're like, what?
I was like, I have to do through that again?
I was like, you're going to go through it again. And the guy was all about it. He was like, hell yeah, this is so cool. And we shot it again. Like, we were like shooting a TV show. You had to get scared multiple times. People don't realize that.
Like, yeah. It wasn't even like that I was faking it. Like, I was genuinely terrified the whole time.
You were out of your mind scared. And it was fun because when you watch it, you just think it's all in one take. It's done. But anyone listening right now, she had to do some stuff, multiple takes. And then we were supposed to only go through one or two houses. And then we ended up going through all five of them. Yeah. They're like, let's go to the next one. And then you were like, all right, I guess I'll do it.
We did two video style. And at that point, I was like, Scuba, I can't go through by myself anymore. Like, I was like, we can go through these other ones, but I'm going to need us to all go together.
As a group, yeah. And then I had to go first on one of them. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay,
yeah. And Scuba got to get scared. So that made me feel better.
It was pretty cool.
It's really scary to walk through those by yourself and going like you're the first one in it, right?
Oh my God, yeah.
Doing that, and like I would look and you wouldn't be behind me, you'd be getting film of something else. Yeah. I'm like, I'm literally alone.
All by yourself. And they know that Morgan's coming through because they told them, hey, we're coming through to shoot content for a Bobby Bones show. And so I think they even like upped up their game a little bit.
Oh, they did. They were mentally messing with me.
Yeah, because they had one guy crawling on the floor and like crawling backwards. Gosh. It was like The Grudge. Mm-hmm. It was so creepy.
Yeah, and one of them kept taunting me. Like he'd pop up and then he'd disappear and pop up. And then at one point he like scared the living literally pee out of me.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, sir, please go back to whatever hole you came from.
Yeah, chill out. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because I don't want any more of this. I'm good. Thank you so much.
But I wholeheartedly believe you might work there next year.
Oh, I love that kind of stuff. Because even like with the Halloween Horror Nights, I've always wanted to work there. I used to go as a patron when I lived in Orlando. I had a frequent fear pass. And I used to go like
frequent fear pass.
Oh, I had an annual pass. This is how old school I am. I had an annual pass when it was $10 a month to go to Universal. And it would cost $10 a month to go to two parks and included parking, discount, and everything. And then the frequent fear pass was like an additional $60 for the year. So, I mean, I was paying, what, $120, $180 to go Universal whenever I wanted.
That's insane. That's why I paid for like one day.
I know. This was back in 2006, 2005. This is what I think from 2002 to 2007. So it was a while ago.
That just shows you just in like the last 20 years alone.
Yeah, less than that almost.
Insane amount of like how prices have gone up.
It's unbelievable. And almost unfair because they were making enough money back then. Now they're making an ungodly amount of money for park entrance.
And like some people can't go and don't get to have that experience because of that. And I wish everybody could have like Disney and Universal experiences because it's unlike a lot of things out there.
Yeah, and it's really unique. And people, especially if you don't live in the area, you have to travel to get there. Mm-hmm. So getting there alone is already an expense of flights or driving and hotels.
And you have to pay for stuff in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like with Disney, you have to pay for a genie pass because you don't want to stand in line, or you have to pay for the food or your drinks or whatever, and all of that is costing just as much.
I know. Bring back the regular old school fast pass. That genie is stupid. It's so annoying.
I do like the technology of it. I think we got into this one time.
I like
the technology of it.
I hate it. What if you're over 50? You think anyone over 50, you think my grandparents, my mom, or anyone your parents, do you think they could figure it out, the genie thing, all on their own without having any experience, no help, no questions?
No, my parents definitely would have been a little lost.
Exactly. So you're excluding an audience that also has money to spend.
That's
because
true.
You're the stupid genie thing to make even more money. It's greed. It's disgusting.
Yeah, because they even do the genie plus thing and then they say like, oh, well, this ride isn't included, so you have to pay an extra
$15. Lightning pass.
$15.
Yeah. Shut up. It was a sport when they had had the fast pass because you had to actually walk to the ride and did you ever go back in the day when you had to put your ticket in and then it spit out?
I went for the first time to both Disney World and Disneyland in the last 3 years.
Dude, it was so cool because it was a thing. You would go, and remember when we're living in LA, for example, I would go a lot with my wife and then my cousin. We all lived in LA. We would go at least maybe twice a month, sometimes three times a month, depending on the holiday or theme or whatever. And it was a sport. We'd go and we would ride a ride. We'd pick a ride like Space Mountain in the early day where it was like 10 minutes because it's early. No one's there. And then you ride that. And when you're done with that, you send someone like me or whoever to go run to another ride like Thunder Mountain or Splash Mountain. That's going to be the next packed one. You get that fast pass for that. And then that's like in the next 30 minutes. So you go ride another ride that's kind of chill, like Alice in Wonderland. And then you get your fast pass. Once that window happens, you can then get the next fast pass. So before you go on that ride you get the fast pass for, you pick your next ride for a fast pass. You get that. And then you have this next new window. So you ride the fast pass, go ride another ride. It's like this constant toggle of fast pass, ride, fast.
It is literally like the Disney Genie Plus. It's just like the in-person version.
In-person version, it doesn't cost any money.
Yeah.
It was no extra cost. It was just you had to walk to the ride and get it.
Yeah.
And then if it was a really popular one, you would want to get that one first early in the morning. Like, for example, you went to California Adventure, you want to get Cars. Because the Cars ride, if you got there by like 11 o'clock, there's a pretty good chance that now the Fast Pass window is from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And so you couldn't go till then.
I didn't get to ride that one.
You didn't get to ride the Cars ride?
No. It was so packed, and it kept breaking down.
I know it breaks down a lot.
And I was like, well, dang. We did get to see Cars Land, though, and Cars Land was pretty cool.
Did you get to ride the Mater ride where it's like that spin-around thing?
No. All my friends are like, Morgan, why do you want to ride the Mater ride? I was like, I don't know. I was told to ride
it. Why would you not want to ride the Mater ride?
It's because I think it's like the kids' ride.
Doesn't matter, though.
You're at
Disney World. It's a whole kids' theme park.
It is, but like they wanted to ride the roll. Like we rode the Incredicoaster, and we were doing some of the more adult rides.
Did you ride the one where it's like the Luigi's dancing cars in the back right corner?
The Luigi dancing
cars. Oh, if you didn't ride the Mater one, you definitely didn't ride the dancing cars.
No,
it's also a kid ride.
Yeah. Listen.
Did you ride Little Mermaid?
In all fairness, we had to squeeze two parks in one day. So we had to pick and choose.
Pick and choose. Okay, yeah.
I rode Little Mermaid at Disney World.
Okay.
We did all of them at Disney World, but none of the Cars one were at Disney World.
Okay, yeah.
But
yeah,
I did get a mac and cheese cup in Cars Land.
Oh, that is really good. Where the cones are?
Yeah, the little cone, whatever they are.
Where the Sally's cones, where she owns that motel. That's really cool because they have all different ones. They have like a hot, you would need the hot dog. They have like an ice cream one and all that.
Yeah, like each cone is a different theme.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and I got the mac and cheese in a cone.
Oh, it's so good, right?
It was
really pretty cool.
Good.
It's also the experience in itself.
Yeah, I liked walking through Cars Land. So that did work for me.
That's cool. Okay, cool.
I couldn't ride the main cars.
I know. That's a bummer. That is a bummer. It's basically like Test Track. Did you ride Test Track at Epcot?
Yes.
Same theme, same concept where you're in a car and you're going through like changing your car and you're going through track related things. And at the very end, there's a big race. Same idea, but just themed to cars and really, really cool.
And I like Cars. Cars is a cute movie.
You get to be immersed in cars. It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
We'll have to go check it out next time.
I know. But there's so many things I have to keep seeing, Scoo. I can't go back to the same place.
Yes, you can.
I have a thing with this.
You have to go back, especially if you didn't do it all. You have to go back.
I just have this thing, though, that I can't go back to the same place I've gone until I visit all of the new places.
What are other new places?
There's only so much time.
Where are the other new places you have to go?
I have like 11 states I still need to go see.
11?
I'm trying to see all 50.
Oh, okay. And so you've seen 39 already?
Yeah, I think my last count was either 12 or 11.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You've been to Alaska yet?
Yes.
You've been to Alaska?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I've always wanted to go to Alaska.
I went to a cruise in Alaska. There are certain states where I'm like, I would 100% come back. Other states where I'm like, no, I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
But Alaska is one I would love. I didn't get to see any of the major national parks, and they have like 20.
They have a lot there, yeah.
And I would love to just go and see all of them.
Yeah, okay.
And they have the national park where the bears eat the salmon. You know where you've seen the photos of bears eating salmon?
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of them.
They jump out in the water and they catch them and eat them?
Yeah, so like it's and I could be wrong on this, but it's like the northernmost national park. It's the hardest to get to.
Yeah.
Because there's this huge walkway, and you can literally go out on the walkway and watch all the bears eat the salmon.
Oh, that's so cool.
Right?
So cool.
So I really want to go back to Alaska.
Did you do the whole, I think it's a Juneau? What's the one that's on the coast?
Yeah, we did go to Juneau.
Okay.
And according to my dad, we also went to British Columbia.
Okay. Did you eat crab? I've always wanted to eat crab in Alaska.
No, because I was vegetarian then too.
Boring.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Oh my God.
But I did see bears and moose, and we landed.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Moose would be cool to see.
It was. We took a helicopter and landed on a glacier, which was insane.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay.
That was a cool experience.
Okay.
Might be one of my favorite experiences. That or the road to Hana.
Okay,
those Rodohana's, are my two favorites.
That's very beautiful, Rodohana, yeah.
And very Maui. Different versions of things.
Oh, yeah. But. Very different. And they're like the two most, I guess, difficult states to get to of the 50 states.
Yeah, exactly.
Is so it Juneau that's on the water? Anchorage is on the water. Okay. Juneau's further in.
Yeah, and I can't remember. I know we went to Juneau. I was in like middle school when we went to Alaska, okay. So it's been a while.
And you've been to Hawaii, obviously. But you've been to all the islands of Hawaii, just a couple?
Just Maui.
One? Just Maui,
I've only been to Maui.
Okay.
Because like I said, once I go like one place, I know, but I at least until I can revisit things, I have to hit everything else first.
Yeah.
Like I want to make sure I see everything just in case, you know, like I die early or something. Yeah. I want to see everything new.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Then I can go back and repeat after I've seen all of them.
Is Canada somewhere you want to go check out too? I've always wanted to go to Toronto and Vancouver. I know they're like the two most quintessential Canadian cities, but I do want to go to Toronto. I want to go to a Raptors game. I just want to see Toronto.
Wait, you don't want to go to Banff?
What's Banff?
Oh my gosh. Banff is like where I really want to go. I'll show you a picture of it and you're going to be like, yeah, I want to go.
Oh, that's cool. Where's that near?
So it's like, there's like these national parks, but I don't think Banff is, they have like a few of them and they're kind of all spread out in the area. But let me see, I'm pulling up the map.
And I kind of also want to see Nova Scotia. That's where Trailer Park Boys took place.
Is that a movie?
As a TV show. They have movies too. It's like a whole like thing. It's cult following. The TV show. So I guess it's not official, but it's even before The Office came out. It's that same kind of style where it's that mockumentary.
Yeah.
And it's these three guys living in a trailer park in Canada and just like all the debauchery. And it's actually pretty freaking funny.
Okay.
Because I think it came out like 99 or early 2000s. So way before The Office, but that same kind of style, but in a trailer park, and it's hilarious. It's on Netflix, and they have 10 seasons of it. Of course, it starts to get a little bit like, okay, like the same crap over and over once you get to like season 5, 6 and on. But the first few seasons are pretty damn funny.
Okay, maybe I should look into that.
I recommend you watch it. Anyone else hearing this that hasn't seen it or has been on the fence, it's pretty damn, it's hilarious.
What's the name of it?
Trailer Park Boys.
Trailer Park Boys.
On Netflix.
Okay.
Canadian Trailer Park Boys. Hilarious.
And Banff National Park is closest to Calgary.
Calgary, okay. Yeah, Calgary is one I want to go to as well, yeah. I'd love to see Canada.
So, well,
I'd love to live in Canada. I don't know what that takes and what that's like, but it's just maybe it's too cold for me.
So, yeah, and it might be. The thing that I really want to do is there's like five national parks all within like pretty close to each other.
Okay.
And they are in like Montana, Idaho, Washington.
On the west side.
So, like Glacier National Park. Okay. There's a lot that sit right up here on the border.
Okay.
And then you can kind of go into Canada and they have a lot of national parks also in that same kind of area.
Yeah.
So you could do like a whole road trip of those.
Probably summertime, I imagine, right? Because it'd be too cold in the... But fine.
Listen, I would go anytime I could go.
It's true. Good point.
But you, like, if you go to Canada, you have to go to Banff because it looks insane.
I've never even heard of it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's another one too I want to go to. They call it the Napa Valley of Canada. And it's somewhere near, I think, Detroit area, but it looks absolutely effing gorgeous.
Of Canada.
Yeah, the Napa of Canada. They invited, I feel like it was either when I was working with Ryan or this show, they invited us to go out there and see it. What is it called?
Kelowna?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Kelowna. I think it's Kelowna.
I was like, I definitely know I'm not pronouncing it right.
I think it's Kelowna or Kelowna. I'm sure someone's like, no, it's not there. It's Kelowna.
However y'all say it.
Yes.
It does look really
It's really beautiful.
It's
the Napa of Canada.
Like the wineries sit on like
on the water
cliffs.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking cool.
I have never heard of it. See?
Yeah, Canada's very beautiful.
I know. But the thing that's crazy about Canada is like you'd think everything would be kind of close together. Everything is very spread out. So like you can't go and really road trip. Like if you're all the way in one, it takes you hours to go to the other. Like,
yeah.
Kind of like if you're taking Tennessee to California. It's kind of like that road trip. It's
pretty far, yeah.
It's very far, at least to what some of my friends have said that have visited Canada.
Because there's more space out, more spread apart. It's further north, so there's less, like, I guess, habitable lands.
Yeah, like the cities aren't super close together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could be wrong on that, but that's just what some people
said. Even looks like that on the map. When you look at the map, it looks like everything's pretty spaced apart.
And it's because they have some insane scenery. I mean, if you've ever driven and done road trips to national parks, like, you're driving for miles to get to them because the scenery is so massive. So, that's one. Okay, we're still at number 7.
Oh, Jesus.
It's okay. The good thing is, like, we kind of hit some things that I wanted to talk about. Cool. We just, you know,
consolidated it a little early.
So we did do a segment where everybody asked another show member for a favor. And
I hit up a lot, apparently.
I'm dead serious about my favor. And yeah. I don't feel like it's a big request because I think you would like to be like a manager and do stuff like that.
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun. Yeah, I could definitely do that.
I feel like you'd rock that.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at managing expectations, making things happen, executing, making sure my people or our team doesn't get used and abused. Get the best of what we're trying to. Yeah, I feel like I could do it. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I was like, listen, there's a lot of people I could like go to, but you were the one that I went to. I just did not anticipate you were also going to have other favors. I was trying to like go after somebody who I was like, no, nobody will ask him.
No, apparently I had a few people asking. Yeah.
You're getting a Christmas tree and stuff too.
Yeah, I know. And then also with lunchboxes to Bobby, and then even came back to me.
Yeah.
Of having to, so it really was like more of a favor for me.
For you.
And I thought for sure I was going to bug Bobby about everything. He's going to be inundated and be like, oh my God, I can't do all this. And then my name kept popping up. I was like, oh.
You're like, well, I can't do all this.
I can't do all this either.
Well, you know, if you just find some time at some point, cool. If not, I'm also not butthurt. Like, yeah. I was just, I thought it was a clever idea, you know?
But I get emails all the time from people for like casting calls or shows that they're going to be starting from people back in LA. So I usually just kind of like, oh, it's too far away. Can't do anything with that. But now when I get them.
Yeah, exactly.
Now when I get them, it's a little bit different. Now I know there's somebody interested in doing something.
Yeah, I just want to, like, it, and I don't want, like, I could do a reality show, but I really want to go on, like, an actual TV show.
Yeah.
Not, like, where I'm playing myself. I want to play a character.
Yeah. But then those are, when you do something like that, you have to either be able to go to LA for a period of time or live there because a lot of it's, like, shoots for months.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be dedicated to either leave this job or figure it out.
If I get like a crazy opportunity.
Yeah. Bye.
I mean, like you put me on a TV show. Like that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Yeah.
Like who could turn down that opportunity? If I'm only gone for a month, I feel like I could still manage to do my main job.
True. That's a good point. You probably could. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although the days on set are pretty long.
Yeah. But you sit in a trailer for a lot of the time, right?
It depends, I guess, on your role within the show. If you're main.
I'd land like the leading role right away.
And you probably be the trailer a lot. Yeah.
I got to get up there.
But you also don't want to be in the trailer a lot. You also want to be on set and visible because then if somebody doesn't show up or if they liked one of your lines, the way you did something or the way you look or something, then you'll be called upon for a bigger piece or a bigger role.
Ooh, pro tip. You know, I also know they're doing a lot in Atlanta.
Doing a ton of film in Atlanta.
That could also be easier too if we find them in Atlanta.
Yes.
I could totally make that work.
The guy who plays Flash. What's his name?
Yeah, Grant Gustin.
No, the guy plays Flash. Like
movie Flash.
Movie Flash.
Sorry, I really like the TV Flash.
Okay,
better.
Yeah, no, I know. But the movie one, that guy, my friend David Bone, he does voiceover stuff in Chicago.
Ezra Miller.
No.
Different. What?
The other Flash.
How many Flashes do you know?
Maybe not Flash. Maybe it's something else. He wears a red outfit with a lightning bolt on it.
I mean, Shazam.
Shazam.
I was like, wait, there's. Oh yeah. No, there's two.
Gotcha. He looks just freaking like him, right?
Yeah, he's much taller.
But like the same kind of character though. Like it's like a red suit with a.
They both have a lightning bolt on him. Yes.
What's his name?
I can find him.
So my friend David was at an airport in Chicago.
Zachary Levi.
Yes, Zach Levi. Yes. So he. Done other movies, of course, obviously, not just that. I think he was also Chuck in that TV show Chuck back in the day.
Yeah, he's a pretty big actor, but Shazam is recent.
He's massive, at least in the film space. And my friend was at the airport. He was sitting there drinking. He goes, oh, my God, it's Zachary Levi sitting right next to him. And they were just kind of chopping up, talking. And they kind of talking about careers because they could both relate to. He's like, I do VO. And Zach obviously does film, like big time stuff. And he was like, I guess, poking for advice. He's like, man, my only advice to you right now is if you're not in Atlanta, what are you doing? Especially if you want to get into the acting side and leave voiceover and do more on screen for TV or for film. Because if you're not in Atlanta, you're wasting your time. Don't go back to LA. Chicago's not where it's at. You got to come to Atlanta. They're doing so much filming out there.
See?
So to prove you and your point, Atlanta actually is where it's at. We're only 3.5 hours, 4 hours away, 45-minute flight.
I follow on Instagram and I've looked at some of them. I just haven't fit any of the like roles yet, but I do follow a casting talent like on Instagram and they always post different things and I always look at them.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool. Are you in Atlanta? And then I see if I like am a fit for the character they're looking for.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I have been looking.
Okay.
This isn't just an on you thing. See, I just might need you to help me facilitate something to happen.
Okay. All right.
So this isn't just like a favor on you. It's kind of like it's also on me to put some work in.
Okay. And I feel like sometimes too, the pairing of a daily radio show, like it's, we've seen it time and time again with like Bobby and Ryan, all these different people, it's also beneficial for a television production or whoever to use someone like them in a sense, because then they get so much promo on air to a radio audience of what they're doing, which I feel like helps their numbers or helps the viewership in some way, because there's a fan base that already exists outside of that television show or production. So again, it's like it'd be a slam dunk to have someone like yourself as well to be doing something TV, but then also have this platform to talk about it.
Yeah, and I have friends that live in Atlanta, so like I have somewhere to crash, so I can go if I need to travel back and forth on the weekends.
Yeah, so if anyone from Atlanta is listening and just so happens to be in the production side of things, it's not like a PA, but it's some sort of pull or weight, you know who to talk to.
Yep.
Her new manager, Scuba Steve.
And bonus, if you can get us both on, we both do it.
And you heard
then
me
we
earlier.
Can just both road trip up and down to Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or just they'll fly us private.
Hey, we got to work up to that though. I think we got to get there.
First class, maybe business class, somewhere in the first 10 rows on Delta.
Well, speaking of like acting too, it's one of the questions that I got that I put into this because we had a lot. If we could start over and try any other profession, what would you do?
It would definitely have been, instead of going towards radio, it would have been going towards television and film, which I've been pulled into many times, but then radio keeps calling me back, which has been, I guess, my script, my story, my life. And I wouldn't change that because everything's happened for whatever reason it's happened for. But I would have rather have gone full force into that. And that could have even had started as a child, because we lived in Orlando, which was the East Hollywood in the 80s and 90s. And they were doing so much production out of there with Universal and Disney and all these different production companies filming in Orlando. But my mom.
Your wife and your mom are definitely different people.
Definitely different people. Mm-hmm. But my mom, who was the woman in my life when I was a child.
Definitely, I guess, not your associate. Wife,
definitely
you're
associate.
Married at four.
Yeah. That's true, yes. Depending on what part of the world you live in. But for me, I guess the woman in my life who was someone that you look up to and is like your, in a sense, your partner. My mom was my partner growing up, and then my wife is not my partner, but anyway, that's a tangent.
I was like, I lost that rabbit hole. Normally I can follow you, but that one I lost.
Or it's a Freudian slip, I guess they call. So my mom, when I was a kid, took me to auditions, but then didn't pursue it because she had this, and her example was, you're going to be like Leif Garrett. And Leif Garrett is this child actor who was like the original Justin Bieber or whatever, who was like a singer, actor, and then got into drugs and sex. And by the age of like 14, he had all these problems, and then he was in rehab and his whole life fell apart. And now he's like this strung out 70-year-old, like has-been in a sense.
Oh, and so he's 61, Scoop.
Oh, wow. He looks like he's 70s. I'm sorry, Leif. But my mom was very much like, you're going to be like Leif Garrett. We're not going to make you go to these anymore. I don't know what flipped. She was about it. For a minute there, I was going to auditions for Little Rascals, the movie that came out in the 90s, Little Giants, Problem Child, like all these movies. I went to these auditions and it's all about conditioning and getting used to it and knowing how to do them. And then eventually over time you get comfortable, you get used to it. And it's like, it's a numbers game. So then after 20, 30 auditions, then you start to become recognized, or they know you and they go, oh, I don't want him for this, but I'm working on another production. He'd be great for that. I remember that kid. He's good for this. But we didn't go to enough of them. We only went to like three or four of them. And then all of a sudden she flipped her switch and was like, no more. I'm like, what? No more? So then I had to sit at home and watch Nickelodeon film in front of a live studio audience in Orlando, Florida, 5 minutes from my house. And I couldn't be there. I couldn't go. And I wanted to go so bad. But when you're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, you can't go there. You can't drive.
Yeah.
You can't get to it.
I'm surprised you didn't sneak out and like try and steal a bus
or
something.
Get on a bus. I know. I wasn't that ballsy. I wish I was.
Not yet.
As I got older, I definitely became more of that. But at that age, I was very much following the rules and listening to my mom. And I didn't go after it. And then as I got older, then it was always a thing in the back of my head. I want to go after this. And then got into radio. And then I figured, oh, the radio would be a good way to start. And then maybe at some point this could catapult into that. And that's why I moved to California initially. Was like, okay, I'll be in San Francisco. And I realized San Francisco was kind of a dead city for acting and all that. It wasn't what it was back in the day. And then I was like, got to go to L.A. So I go to L.A. and work in television. I was working for Dr. Phil. And then not even like freaking a month into it, I get a phone call about Ryan Seacrest, and I'm like, damn, a secure job with benefits and it pays more than this. And it was, unfortunately, and my wife was living in San Francisco and she wasn't going to come down until I had more of a full-time gig. And so I was alone and I was kind of missing her and wanted her there. And I was like, damn, I guess I'll go after this. And then I left TV and I was only there at Dr. Phil for maybe 3 or 4 months. And within that 3 to 4 months, I'd already climbed up to the next and to the next and was already going on to the next. Like, it was so easy to climb as long as you were available there. Like, it was so simple. Just like the simple things in life, if you were it, it was easy for you to climb up, and I had all those qualities and traits.
But you weren't full time there?
I was full time once I moved up, but it wasn't paying enough to live the lifestyle that we needed to live, comfortable at least. It would take a couple more moves to get to that pay. I was interviewing for that role that was going to get me the higher pay. It was an associate producer, an AP. And you start booking guests, and then you're more part of the production process. You're more hands-on. You work with Dr. Phil a lot more. You're in that. Then you start getting paid more money. You're closer to six figures. And I'm like, okay, now this is a real job. And so right at that same time, there was an interview for that, and there was an interview for Ryan Seacrest. And that Ryan Seacrest paid a little bit more, and it was also Ryan. And it was also kind of like a bucket list place to be and work for in radio, which I'd already been in for 10 plus years. And I was like, oh, it'd be really cool to work with Ryan. Like, that'd be pretty rad. And I was like, I don't know if I could turn that down. And it also got my wife to come down, and she, of course, was really pushing for it. But I was like, man, I get to drive my Honda Civic on the Paramount lot, and I'm walking around. There's New York. There's Boston. There's San Francisco. Like, I get to see, I saw Bumblebee and Optimus Prime, like the cars they use in the movies,
cool.
Parked in a garage. Like, not like I saw all these really cool, unbelievable, surreal experiences. And I saw like Castaway and movies where they would film things on a sea. They have this huge, like wide open, like parking lot. They fill with water and it has like a backdrop. And like, I saw all like the magic of Hollywood. And then you'd also, because I work for Phil, we would go to other places to shoot stuff or borrow props. So I go to like the Disney lot, and I got to see the Disney lot. And I remember one day I was in the Disney lot picking up this dummy for the Doctors, because he also did the Doctors, which is another one of their productions. And as I'm sitting there grabbing this dummy to put in the back of my car, Lawrence Fishburne, you know who he is from The Matrix?
Mm-mm.
Have you seen The Matrix?
No.
What? You haven't seen The Matrix?
Everybody told me not to watch it.
Everyone who told you that is an idiot.
What's his name?
The Matrix. Oh. Lawrence Fishburne. He's in Blackish.
Oh, but I know who he is. Yeah. I've seen him in a lot of things.
Yeah, so he was filming Blackish at the time, the TV show, gotcha, on ABC, and he drove by in his Tesla smoking a cigar, and I remember just like almost, I don't know if my jaw was on the ground, because I was just like, holy crap, it's Lawrence Fishburne. And I'd only been in LA for 3 months, so I was like, all this was like my childhood dreams finally coming true.
Yeah.
And I'm on the lot, and I see like the Muppets are over there, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool. He drives by smoking a cigar, and I looked at him kind of like, holy shit. Whatever.
There's always one with you.
Who cares? Whatever. It's the least of the curse words that I could say right now. Cause I was like, oh, I think I maybe had said it out loud. Like, holy crap. And then he looked at me, he just kind of like, he nodded his head and gave me the peace sign. I was like, oh my God, Lawrence Fishburne and I locked eyes. He's smoking a cigar. Is it a cigar? Yeah, it's a cigar. Okay, yeah, yeah. Like, it was just such a surreal Hollywood moment. And then I turn around and there's Muppets. And then there's some guy running around going, like, it was just so, I'm going off on so many tangents, but, or am I?
You're not. Okay. You're on the same wavelength.
Okay, all right, yeah. But I was just like, wow, this is this full experience. Oh yes, what would I do before radio, or what I do without this? Yeah, okay. Sorry, I'm just so in it now that makes me miss it. It makes me want to move back.
No, you make me want to like go and do that. That's why I wish I would have kind of chased the acting dream.
I know. And then our studios for radio was next to Warner Brothers. So it was I saw the Warner Brothers water tower on my way to work every single day. It was such a surreal, amazing, life-changing experience that when I left, it was really difficult for me to leave. And I legit flipped a coin because I wasn't sure what to do. And it was heads Carolina or heads
tails
Nashville.
California.
Yeah, it was tails California, heads Nashville, which is essentially the same thing, you know, the country. And so I flipped the coin and it landed on heads. And I was like, all right, this is where we're supposed to be.
There are no film sets around us.
There are no film sets around
here. In fact, we are owned by different people. And we are in not our own building.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So long story short, on this huge tangent of where I would go and what I would be, I would have followed that path. And I would have put the same energy that I put into this and where I've been over the last 15 plus years with this would have gone into that. And who knows where that would have been, you know? And even Universal, I've been on the Universal lot because my cousin worked there.
You may not have married your wife because she may not have moved if you didn't.
Or I never would have met her because I met her through radio in San Francisco. So that would never would have happened. And I made that point to her and I was like, we never would have had this. She's like, we would have met some way. She was, we were supposed to meet in some capacity.
Fair. If you were supposed to meet, it would have worked one way or another.
One way or another at a different time or a different version or a different way. Because we were going to be together anyway, no matter how you would have fought it or changed it. And I was like, damn it. If only I would have known that.
You're like, dang, I could have chased my dream and had you.
I know. But the radio thing kind of just really worked out. And and it's gone a path that it's gone, and I'm grateful for where I am. But to answer your question, that's what I would have done.
Yeah. You may need to get back there somehow.
I know. And I don't necessarily want to be the spotlight, even though we talked about me being a horror character. That'd be kind of cool if that all worked out. But I just am so obsessed, and I love the idea of how it comes together and how it's all made and how they do it versus being the one on the screen.
Well, so maybe this is your way back in, is you'd be my manager, and this is like our next season of life.
I know.
Is I start acting and you start being my manager.
I know.
And then
cool.
You can be on all the sets that you want. You can make all the connections you want to do.
I know, and then I can start producing over there.
And if you get a different job, cool. You help me get started.
Exactly, yeah. Like, and I'll see you and say, oh, I look at the call sheet. Oh, my God, Morgan's going to be on this production. That's awesome. Who casted her? That's a good pick. I like that.
This is a little trickle of us.
And then I get to direct you because I'll be a director.
See?
Or an AD. Who knows?
See, I love this for us. Mm-hmm. So really, my favor, it all comes back around.
It's a full circle moment.
It helps you out,
just like St. Jude. Full circle moments.
Oh, okay.
Well, what'd you do before? Are you in the same? Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
It'd be acting. I just don't. I mean, I acted in college. I acted in high school. And when I was a kid, I just, you know, I love TV was or TV. When I studied broadcast journalism was that version for me. It was like, I thought the same thing as you. I was like, this is a way in to doing something similar.
Yeah.
And like really in college when I was doing my like minors and stuff and I was taking the acting classes, it was to help me with being on TV and being a personality.
Yeah.
So it was all connected. It just was a matter of what my life was going to fall into.
And how to do it, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
And being an actor is really hard. Like, I really, you know, I don't say that with a grain of salt. That's a lot of work that goes into doing that and a lot of disappointment and a lot of rejection that you have to deal with.
A lot of rejection, yeah.
And there was a moment of me where I was like, I don't know that I'm cut out for that. I think I could do it now, but 20-year-old me, I don't think I could have.
Yeah.
But now.
I think you could have, though, because at that point, too, it's almost a 5 to 10 year grind to get to where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like my friend, even in voiceover, even in radio, it took us a minute to get to a certain point where it was what it was for us. It's not like people are like, oh, you must have just came right out of college and got into a big, huge national show. It's like, no, there's quite a lot of grinding to get to that point than just flipping a switch and you're here. Same thing as with acting, unless you have some sort of nepotism or whatever, like, you know, the kids of a director.
My parents were not actors.
Exactly, yes.
Of course, famous.
That's an anomaly. There aren't very many of that. But most people have to grind for 5, 10 years.
No, but you know what? You know what? It does make me really jealous because I do see, like, North, Kim Kardashian's daughter, and she's, like, doing all these crazy things, and she's, like, on a magazine and stuff, and I'm like, dang, I wish I was born into a famous family.
I know. Like, how is that? The selection of who gets what, right?
Yeah.
Like you happen to become the DNA and that man's whatever to go to that woman. And and you got chosen for this family and they get chosen for that family. Like, how does that all happen?
I know. And I really don't. At the end of the day, I really don't.
Of course.
Mean that.
I know.
But I just look at it and I'm like, dang, that's so easy. It just worked out for them.
I know. But then I also feel like for them, they don't get the full experience of life of having to work for something.
That's exactly
and
true.
And then the action, and then they don't, not saying they don't, but majority of them don't appreciate what they have or what they've been given because it was literally given to them.
It also makes me sad that that's just how like society works, right? Like, because you have this name or whatever, you become this.
You become, you're a Getty. So you become whatever.
No,
yeah.
Everybody else had to work really hard to do that. So why can we all have to do that?
Exactly. Or your parents had to work really hard to get where they're at. And so now you just get thrown to you, but not every parent just throws it to them. Some parents actually make them go out there and work like, I mean, I'm gonna have to go out and go to college and get a degree, even though you don't need it, but you still have to do it because because we can afford it, whereas like maybe they couldn't afford it when they were growing up.
That's exactly how my parents were.
So yeah, so some parents, I love those parents that make the kids work for it versus just ones like, oh my God, shut up, whatever. You want to be in a movie? Fine. We'll put you in a movie. Mm-hmm. It's like, then it's like, fine. If I cry and scream and whine enough, I'll get what I want is what they basically learn.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't. I did not. Like my parents were like, no, you're going to have to work really hard and you're going to have to do all these things to get to here. And they were great, pictures of what that looked like because they did come from for both of them. It's not like they came from nothing. They came from something, but they created even more than what they had growing up because they wanted more for their family.
Evolution. It's all about becoming bigger, better, and stronger versus the opposite.
But you know, there are just some days where I'm like, dang, that would have been real easy for me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Doesn't so mean cool. I want it. It's just, you know, those few moments where you're like,
oh, of course. You're like, God,
life is really tough,
so
man.
Cool if we could just chill and have $100 million.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Or I could just try anything and it doesn't matter because if I fail, my mom and dad are going to be able to bail me out because they got $100 million.
Yeah. Like that. Isn't that why we are all play the lottery.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Because we won that life anyway.
It's that safety net. It's that safety net of knowing that you don't have to worry about failing, because if you fail, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So then you have the ultimate confidence because it doesn't matter. Nothing matters.
Well, whereas I'm like, I have to plan every literal moment I have. I'm like, I don't have this figured out, so I can't do that quite yet. Like that, and that's where a lot of that like acting stuff came. Is I was like, I don't really have a backup plan, so like I don't feel prepared to go after that because I don't have a fallback.
Yeah, that's true.
And that feels very scary to me.
Oh yeah, it is very scary.
I like safety nets.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay, we're gonna come back.
Okay.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Okay, we're back.
Okay, we are.
Lunchbox geeked out about Chelsea DeBoer or Houska.
Yeah, he kept saying, which is so funny. He's this massive fan of Team Mom, but he said her name. He's been saying her name wrong forever. She even said it in the interview. I think she said Houska.
Is it Houska?
Yeah, which is also interesting because it's not like it's a TV show. She probably says her name a lot, or the VO says her name at the beginning of the show or something.
I was gonna say the VO probably did. I don't know how often I say my last name.
Yes, but like somewhere in that, her name has been said. It wasn't like it's something you had to figure out.
Well, I do think it was like, we got to shave a few years off of that because I don't think he's paid much attention now.
True, it's been a minute, yeah.
I think he was a very massive fan when
back
it all happened.
Yeah,
and now he's got like dad brain. And
yeah, he forgets. I get it.
I think that's what's happening.
I'll give him that.
But he did totally geek out. Like he was freaking out that she was on our show this week. So that was fun. But I want to talk about what's a news story that maybe you saw recently that just like made you feel a lot of things. And maybe you don't have one. That's okay too. But the reason I bring it up is because I saw that. Watching all the Matthew Perry stuff come out has been harder than I anticipated. Like, because I loved Friends so much.
Gotcha.
So it's just been like seeing everything is really sad and seeing that he's gone so early is really sad.
I'd never watched. I mean, I watched a few, but I didn't care about Friends.
Oh, yeah. And it was like my show that I watched.
Yeah. So for me, it didn't really affect me too much because I was like, oh,
yeah.
Sucks the guy died, but he lived a pretty damn good life.
He did. He really did. But like, you know, 50 is young. Like mm-hmm. being in your 50s.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, totally. But he did a lot of drugs and stuff. So it's kind of like you do all those drugs and you have all those things. Even if you go sober, your life is going to be shorter because he did a lot of drugs.
Yeah,
that's
so sad.
Did a lot of parties.
We are going to talk about drugs on the listener Q&A.
Hell yeah.
By the way.
I love drugs.
But the reason I bring that up is because there is
recreational ones.
All right. There is a news story that came out about Lisa Kudrow potentially adopting Matthew Perry's dog.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought he had a kid or something.
No.
Oh, dog. Okay, that's pretty cool.
A dog that he got
to go somewhere,
That he got in 2021. Uh-huh. And Lisa is obviously Phoebe on Friends. And I was like, you know, that's just such a Phoebe thing to do. You didn't watch Friends, but like,
I've heard the character and I get it. And
she is a huge animal lover. And like that, their dynamic of Friends, like that would be such a Phoebe move.
Yeah.
And so when I saw that, I was like, holy crap, this is like real life Friends.
That's pretty cool.
And it really like, it made me tear up. And I was like, oh, and also the dog's going to have somebody that it knows. And
totally. Yeah.
So I had a whole thing. So it made me feel a lot of things.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I, you know, I like that at least that there could be a silver lining to what happened.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that is pretty cool. She's stepping up to take the dog. That's a responsibility.
Yeah. And I don't know if it'll like go through. It's just apparently the reports are happening right now that she's considering adopting it.
Yeah. Like where else would it go? Right. He didn't have kids or anything, does he?
I don't think he had kids, but I know he has family and stuff. So I don't know if one of them wanted it. And that might be why she's considering is just making sure nobody else wanted it or, you know, however that works out.
But okay.
If she does, I'd just be like, man, real life friend situation happening.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Anything that comes to mind for you? It's okay if not.
I mean, I have one, but it's pretty dark and everyone just keeps ignoring it.
Why do you keep...
The whole Israel and Gaza thing.
Okay, yep.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has ignored it, act like it doesn't exist. It's the same thing. Oh, it does exist. It's the same thing that also gets ignored, the Armenian genocide, which has been happening for like 30 plus years. And the only reason I knew about it and became a thing to me is because when I was living in LA, I lived in the Valley, and the Valley is run by Armenians. Like that's like the prominent, I guess, nationality of people that live in the Valley, especially in the Sherman Oaks, Van Nuys area. And so once a year, there'd always be a bunch of cars driving around with their Armenian flags. And I was like, is it like their 4th of July or something? I figured there was some sort of like patriotic day that like they would celebrate, like kind of like, you know, 4th of July. Everyone has the American flags and everything. I was like, oh, what are they celebrating? And then our babysitter who like daycare or whatever for our kid who is Armenian. And she was like, oh, it's the Armenian genocide. And I was like, Armenian genocide. And she gave me the whole breakdown. I was like, oh my God, this has been happening for like 30 years. She's like, yeah, no one really talks about it in the news. It's not really a thing. It's only we know about it and some other people know. I mean, it's not really a widely spread, widely known. It's been like shoved under the rug for so long, but there's been a genocide happening there for a very long time. And now you have this one. I mean, it's awful. The amount of children that are dying and the amount of parents that are having to, some of them I can't watch because it's too much because I have kids and I project myself in those parents and how they feel.
Well, we did have an employee of the month. I'm going to change us directions here if you're okay with
that. We sure did.
Okay. We did have an employee of the month.
And I voted for her too. Sorry, everyone else.
That's rude. I'm sitting here right in front of you.
I did. I voted for her. I know.
That's
rude. I did.
It's okay. I won last month. I'll take my win.
Yeah.
Where did the name Scuba Steve come from?
Oh, really?
That was a question. And I'm moving it over here.
I was going to say, this seems like a little bit of a hybrid of the Q&A.
So like if I can't get to all of them, I'll try and put them in the part one too. So everybody gets answered. It's just a matter of when, where.
Gotcha. Okay. Do you ever like give them credit? Like Sarah out of Nebraska wants to know da 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 da.
I can start doing that. But I also don't know if people want to just stay anonymous because some of the questions are more personal.
Okay. So but like these ones, you could be like, oh, this is Jessica in North Dakota. She wants to know where to scuba Steve.
I could start adding that.
I feel like
there.
You should. I feel like the people, I think they'd want to hear like, oh, that's my question or wasn't my question. Cause I'm sure somebody else may have asked that too. I just think about it from the listener perspective. I think they would be like, oh my God, I want to hear if they took my question.
Okay. I like this perspective.
Yes.
I will add that into the next
and
round.
I think even if it's one where you're like, I don't know if they'd want to be associated with it. Just ask them like, hey, do you mind if I say your name? You don't say their last name. Just like, hey, Jen and Massachusetts.
Okay, but also I will start doing this, but please make sure you have a username that I can tell the name. Some that of too, y'all put some weird ones on there and I can't say username 5-5-4-8-2-1 said, hey, Scuba, how to get your name?
Yes, yeah. So I feel you, yeah.
Those ones, make sure you write your name. But
yes.
I like the idea.
But I think they go, oh, they perk up and go, oh my God, they're asking my question and I heard my name. Oh my God, it's so cool.
I think
there'd be a little bit of a connection.
Okay, we'll add it in next week.
Okay, cool. Just some feedback, you know.
I appreciate the feedback. I'm receptive to kind feedback and that was very nice how you brought it up. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So how'd you get your name?
So the real question here. Tell me the story. It's really just, it's actually twofolds. Initially, I got the nickname when the movie first came out. I think it was like 2003 or two, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
The Adam Sandler movie. So this is the origin of it, Big Daddy. Adam Sandler is a movie. And in there's a character named Scuba Steve.
1999.
So that's when I originally got the nickname. I was in school and because my name is Steven or Steve, they started calling me Scuba Steve.
And your last name starts with an S too. So it's like SS.
SS. So all of it just kind of like, it was a thing. And so I think it was high school. Yeah, it was high school and people would call me. Some people would. They'd be like, oh, Scuba Steve, damn you. It was like, because it was like, you know, when movies would come out back then, it'd only be like
pop culture moment.
Yeah, there'd only be like three great movies within a few months. And then if you went to go see it, there was all those catchphrases, like pop culture moments, like you said. So it'd be like something, people would always recite lines and quotes and whatever. And so that was a popular one at the time, and my name didn't have to be that. So it just, it became a thing with some people at school. And then it kind of faded because the movie wasn't that big of a deal years later. And then it wasn't really a thing. And then I started getting into entertainment, and I wanted to be known as Stephen Hollywood because I always wanted to go to Hollywood in L.A. And so that was my dream to
Aren't
be.
Aren't you glad that's not your name?
Yeah, I am very glad. So I wanted to be known as that. But then when I got into radio, I worked for kind of not like a fraternity, but one of those morning shows where the like the intern back in the day was like a thing. And sometimes they pin interns against each other. And it was a whole thing with interns. And you were basically kind of like having to, it was like, what's that week? Like rush week or whatever?
Yeah, like where you're getting
hazed.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. You basically get hazed when you're an intern back in the day. And it was just kind of to see if you were strong enough to withstand the industry, because the industry can be pretty tough. You need thick skin. So they would haze you, but they also would see who was an intern who mattered and would show up on time, go the extra mile. And that's what I was. I worked 7 days a week. I busted my butt. But my first day on the job, I came in, same kind of thing. My name was Steven. It was maybe like 5 or 6 years post the movie coming out. And so it was still kind of a little bit top of mind, but not, again, wasn't as big as it was in 99. I remember my first day coming in, and they're like, oh, Scuba Steve, damn you. Scuba Steve. Like, there was a thing. And I was like, oh. And then and I was like, and then they're like, that's going to be your nickname. And I was like, oh, okay. Because they gave you your nickname. It was like a rite of passage for the shows in Orlando. And we actually have a decent amount of listeners in Orlando. I saw the numbers. I think last month we had 50,000 podcast downloads in Orlando, which is a pretty healthy amount.
Love it. Shout out Orlando.
Exactly. Yeah. So in Orlando, there's a station called XL 106.7, which is like the powerhouse radio station, top 40 pop. And it's like the Z100 of Orlando. And they have a morning show there. It used to be called Johnny, Doc and Johnny back in the day, which is what I listened to. But then it was Johnny and Jade when I was there. And I got an internship there. And so again, the nickname came from that. Where am I going here? I don't even know where I was at.
Nickname came from being an intern.
Yeah, being an intern. Yeah. So they kind of haze you. They give you a nickname. And then that was my nickname they gave me as an intern. You stick with it. It's your name. It's your nickname. And I was like, okay, I was just so happy to be there and so like excited. And it was a nickname that, wherever I'd go, everyone remembered it because it was so memorable, because it was associated at the time with a very iconic film. And it was just a fun thing to say. People loved saying my name. And even on air, like, I was an intern. I was a nobody. I was like the 10th person on the mic that would come in every once in a while for some stuff. And I would go to club events and people knew who I was. I was like, oh my God, I'm like going places. I'm getting in for free. And it's all because my name was something that was easy to remember. And then I left Orlando after a few years, went to San Francisco, and they asked, it's like a thing, like, what do you go by? And I told my name, oh, I love it. Scoobers, Scuba Steve. And then
Scoobers.
So it stayed.
Sounds like boogers.
I know. So the guy I worked with, Don Blue, he kept it in San Francisco. And then I went to another show and they're all about it because it's the whole nickname thing. It's branding and they loved it. And then I went to LA. I was like, okay, I'm going to LA. I'm going to become me. I'm going to become Steven. And I was Steven. Or Steve at Dr. Phil.
Steven. It sounds so professional.
I know. Especially Steven. And then I went to work with Ryan. And then Ryan also was like, well, what's your nickname? Because I was like, hey, my name's Steven. He's like, yeah, but what's like your radio nickname? I was like, Scuba Steve. He's like, oh, I love it. Scuba Steve. And then he like remembered my name and he knew me. And then he would refer to me as Scuba or Scuba Steve. And I was like, oh, crap. Well, Ryan Seacrest is now calling me by this nickname. Like now it's solidified. Like it ain't going anywhere now. Like it's got a stamp of approval. And so it stayed and just never, I always would try to drop it and change it, but it just always kept following me.
Are you saying you want me to call you Steven?
No. That's fine.
I can.
You guys can call me whatever you want. It really doesn't matter.
Well, I don't like being called Morgan number two. So like I get it.
Yeah. I don't call you Morgan number two. I think it's stupid.
No, but so like I get it.
Yeah.
So if you want me to call you Steven, I'll call you Steven. It feels weird, but I'll get used to it.
Steven!
It reminds me of Steven from Laguna Beach is really what it reminds me of.
Okay. Steven, brah.
Yeah. That's the only Steven that I think I have a reference of.
Or Taylor Swift. Right?
Oh,
there's a song
yeah,
called Steven.
In that movie.
Hey,
yeah.
Steven.
Yeah, but mainly Steven from Laguna Beach.
Okay, yeah.
And you're technically from like the coast.
Yeah.
Dude.
Saw Steven. With a PH, not a V.
Okay. What does your job entail? Everything that you do? You don't have to say everything because we'll be here forever. So
yeah, I know.
Just give me like three things. The big things that you
I'll give you the three temples, almost like the judicial branches of or the branches of government.
Also, a listener, Kevin, brought this up.
listener. Hey,
I don't actually know whose name it is.
Ah, dang.
But I don't have them right now, but I will do them moving forward. I do really appreciate the suggestion. So I was just trying to add it in now.
Yeah. You can make up fake names. I'm sure they do it some places around the world. Yeah, listener Kevin suggested this Luke Bryan song.
Shh, don't tell him it's fake.
I guess I could break it down like that. The government, the executive, the judicial, and legislative. So like the big three tent poles would be, so there's the behind the scenes part of it, which kind of helps with all of our ideas and like when we do like the trip, like Eddie walking from West Virginia to Tennessee, and when we do the lunchbox going to the Vasilla Axe Farm, whenever there's like a branding type thing where we have a big idea and it's tied to a partnership or a sponsorship, I have to do a lot of that legwork, which doesn't take overnight. It's a lot of hemming and hawing and pulling and trying to get people it's a lot of work to get people, to pitch it, to get them on board and get them to understand what we're trying to do, and then trying to get somebody to then facilitate that to somebody else who then has to facilitate it to the company. It's a lot of like middle people to get what we want done, and a lot of calls and ideas and emails and examples and all kinds of crap. So there's like the sales and promo side of what I have to do, which entails with big ideas, trips, travels, contesting stuff, and then even down to like our commercials that are recorded and all that kind of stuff, and then expanding that outside of just voicing a commercial. So I would say sales and promos, one tent pole. And then there is another tent pole of managing staff, and that could be anything from, if you're a manager, you know what that's like. Yeah, well, yeah, the whole...
I'm staff.
Yes, you are staff, yes. Managing staff in the sense of... me?
You don't have to manage me that much, though.
Yeah, no, there are different levels of management. It's like with anyone listening right now who's a manager of retail, a store, a place of anything, any sort of manager, doesn't matter what kind of line you work in, everyone's got a different personality and a different way that you have to work with them. Some are easier than others, and some take a little extra pushing than others to get them to do certain things.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how easy am I?
I would say 10 being the easiest.
Yeah.
I like between a 9 to a 10.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, super easy. Responsive to emails.
I now realize that could come off dirty. I don't mean in that way. I just mean...
Yes, know what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm easy to work with.
Easy to work. Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I never was thinking that, Morgan.
Listen, I work in a boys' locker room, it feels like, sometimes. Yes. So I'm just, my mind automatically goes there. I just know people are going to respond that way.
True. Oh, I say, easy, huh? Well, I hear you're also single, and so am I, and I live in Nashville. And No, like as far as like ease to work with, as far as like getting requests, responding to emails, getting you to do certain things that we need to do for the show or help out with something, really easy to work with. There are other people who I get to ask multiple times or you have to hold their hand.
I won't make you rate everything.
Yeah. Don't make me do that. Yeah. Cause it could be awkward.
Yeah. No, that's not fun.
Yes.
I just was more asking for me cause you can put me on Front Street. I'm right here.
You're right here. Exactly. Yeah. I can, and I can tell you to your face, but it's honest though. You are very easy and quick to respond and easy to work with on trying to enhance and do more with certain, with things as well. So there's that.
Glowing endorsement review. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. So 2 tent poles.
But it's huge though. It's helpful to have somebody who wants to do and is willing to do things and whatever. It's just, I don't know.
I appreciate it.
Again, as a manager, you understand listening like, yeah, oh my God, I have some staff that I like them. Not say I don't like everyone on the show because I do, but just everyone. It's almost like you're a counselor in a sense, or have to be really good at knowing people's personalities because everyone handles things differently and takes feedback differently and takes direction differently. And so that's a lot because there's 13 people.
And I also have very honest conversations too. Yeah. There was one time where you were emailing me about something and the next day I said, Scuba, you can't email me like that. It makes me really scared.
Oh yeah.
I need you to not do that.
Yeah. So I was just like, hey, whatever it was, I remember a version of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a professional. I was like, Scuba, we don't talk like that to each other. Yeah. So when you do that, it makes me feel very sketched out that something's happening.
Something bad's happening. It really wasn't. It was just like kind of, I forget what it was, but it was like nothing. Yeah.
No.
But I think it's just me being like, I got to send her a note because if I don't, I'll forget.
Yeah. And it was like a really professionally written. I was like, Scoop. Yeah. Am I in trouble? Because like I feel like I'm in trouble.
Morgan Heelsman, please report to the principal's office. And everyone's like,
we even talk about things together too. It's on true. The back end.
Yes. And some people are more open and receptive to talking human-like about things. But everyone's different.
Yeah.
Everyone's different. And you also, I even say about Bobby, because you'd be like, oh, he must be so busy. He probably takes him a while to get back on. Bobby's hella quick. Like I send him a question or something that I need or I need a response on. You would think, especially with my experience of working with previous hosts and how busy they are in the same capacity of what they're doing and just the scope of their job, he responds like real fast. I'm like, wow, I remember when I first started, like, wow, he responded to my email within like a minute. Like, that's pretty quick, or within a window that I didn't think he would respond in respectfully based on his schedule. I'm like, damn, okay. So I'd give Bobby some props on responsiveness.
And that tracks with him saying he's always on his phone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I hate having the texts or the emails just sitting there. But it's helpful because he's the host and I need to get to him a lot and ask him a lot of questions.
That's how I am. Like, you'll see me even when we're like talking, I have to get rid of the notifications because the little red dot really bothers me.
Yeah.
It really irks me.
Whereas like Amy's got like 1,000 and Eddie's got 1,000 unread text. Like, they've talked about it. Oh my
gosh. Eddie's desktop, man.
So much anxiety.
Gives me so much. Like, I have nothing.
So much anxiety. So yeah, so the sales promo side ideas, thinking for the show, outside the show, spots, commercials. The second bucket, managing staff and all that stuff was another role. The third one kind of parlays or goes into the second one of content and managing staff and managing the content of the show. And then also trying to, and then the third one, and there's a third and a fourth, even like a fifth. The third one would then have to be almost kind of being like the mafia, where you have to like murder and bury a lot, where like something.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Like, there's some things that you guys that never touches you, which I handle on purpose because then it allows the creatives and the hosts of the show to be able to not to focus on. Like, I've heard people in the past that have had my role would have to go to Bobby or others about every little effing thing, which some of it's like, come on, make a decision yourself or make the call yourself and handle it. They don't need to be involved in that. It's not the, unless there's
really murdering people,
not physically murdering people, figuratively.
I just had to make sure.
Like, if there's a problem with an affiliate or a problem with a sales thing or a problem with something with programming or content or something, unless it's a massive, huge problem that needs to be brought to someone's attention, which I have, and I'll go to them like, hey, this is a problem, or hey, we need to rectify this. We got to fix this. This is how we can fix it. But a lot of the times, like 80% of the time, it could just be handled by me and me handling it in the way that it should be handled. And a lot of the times it ends up being the other person's problem and fault anyways. You just have to be tactful about how you respond or how you handle the problem or situation. And I'm not going to go through any of them because a lot of them are too much inside baseball with a listening audience and even you.
I'm listening.
I know. But it's like, so I don't go to everyone with all the minutiae and all the crap because it isn't there. They don't need to know about it. It's not a big deal. And it,
random.
Yeah.
Off of that, you always say minutia. I always thought it was minute.
Minute? Like minute bowl?
I don't know. I just always thought it was minute. And every time you say minutia, it really throws me off.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Is it minutia?
Yeah. I mean, now I'm confused. Let me look it up real quick.
I always thought it was like minute.
No. Well, minute is like something small.
I don't know. Maybe. What does minutia mean?
Minutia. Let me give you the small. So yeah, I guess.
Okay,
another
so
way
they
to
are
say.
The same.
They are the same. Yeah, minute would probably be like a shorthand version of minutia.
Okay.
But the minutia is like kind of like the trivial details, the whatever. Okay. Like who gives a crap?
But they both work.
They both could work in a sense. Minute, minutia. But would you say minute? But not minute though. It'd be minute. Right?
I always assume I'm saying or understanding something wrong.
Yes.
But typically is.
I'm sure most people would hear you go, oh yeah, she means like minutia or minute or minute.
I've just never heard anybody say minutia besides you.
Okay. Minutia is probably the full
version of
yeah,
that.
Like a Bob or a Bobby.
Okay.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Sorry. You can go back on your tangent. But that, like, I've heard you say that multiple times on the show. Okay. And every time I've been meaning to be like, what the frick does that mean? Because I assumed it was like minute how I saw it, but yeah. I didn't know.
It's all like the stuff that's like, dude, don't bother them with that crap. Like, yeah. Like handle it yourself. There's a reason why you're the executive producer, is to handle some of that crap and not have to bother them with it.
Because you're like the bouncer of our show.
Exactly. I'm like the Tony on the mafia. I'm the guy that gets. I'm the one that.
Okay, we'll call you the mafia.
Yeah, that's way cooler. I know than a bouncer. Really. A bouncer, dude. I'm way more stealth than a bouncer.
Okay, but the mafia also like handles drugs and money.
I know. Well.
Okay. And with that, we're gonna take another quick
yes.
break.
Well, I guess I could finish. Oh yeah, I think that's about. I mean, that's not about it, but that's like kind of like the big overarching.
The big you wear a lot of hats.
And then there's always the unknown, the wild card box of like, who knows what the hell's gonna happen today, and have to deal with those problems.
Oh, like the day that when all of our power went out,
yes,
and everything
yeah.
went crazy.
Yes, exactly. So there's always the you never know what's gonna happen when you come in kind of day, which is pretty cool because sometimes it could be pretty cool. You never know what's gonna happen, or it could be like, holy crap, really? That's what's happening today. on a Monday. We just started this week.
Oh gosh, I sent him off. Okay, we'll be right back.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Before Scuba kills me.
After these words.
And I'm one of the murderers.
Yeah. Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
We did do a draft of the best appetizers, and I wanted to use this moment because I went very generic.
Yeah, you guys did.
For mine, because...
Oh, y'all did.
Well, because you can't really use like local spots because not a lot of people are going to know them.
It's true. It's about it's a strategy of getting votes nationwide.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Those are things that I typically choose at different places, but I have favorites. So I wanted to get into the more specific side of like... our favorite appetizers, like legit where they're from and what they are.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, so one of mine is
like top three.
Okay, yeah. Those are top three.
Okay, it could be specific to the restaurant or it could just be like in general. If I go to any one of these kind of restaurants, I want to make sure I get this kind of appetizer.
Okay, so in general, anywhere I'd go, it'd be mozzarella sticks. Okay. Those are my jam. So I was really mad when Lunchbox got them. Really irked me.
That's mine.
Also because I'm the only vegetarian. I was supposed to have the cheese stuff.
Exactly, it's all me. Those are mine.
I'm just kidding. But mozzarella general. Yeah. But queso at Blanco in Nashville.
That's what I've heard from you. Yeah, I love queso.
It is the best queso.
Okay.
So that's my number one.
Is it a white queso or a yellow queso?
It is a yellowish queso, but it's with like a... one of my friends pointed out that it's with cream and mushroom soup because we figured that out.
What?
Yeah, and they put their avocado, sour cream, and pico in it.
What?
So you kind of get everything. So it can kind of turn different colors. That's why I say it is yellow, but it can get a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
With all the mix of things.
That's the one that's on that like 5th and Broadway thing.
Yes.
It's directly across from the Ryman and directly across from the Tapas restaurant.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So... number one is that one because it's just so good.
Okay.
Two.
Number two.
And I'm going to stick within like the last 5 years because like I've lived in Nashville. So if I go out, then it's too much. The cheese fritters from Amerigo.
Okay. Amerigo.
I love cheese fritters.
I feel like I've been to Amerigo. Is that an Italian restaurant?
It is. And they have cheese fritters that are chef's kiss.
Yeah, I love cheese fritters. Yeah.
They like all cheesy gooey and they have this honey mustard sauce that listen, it is hard to make a good honey mustard.
Really? You haven't had a good one?
Well, there are some places that make really bad ones.
Yeah.
Is more my point. Like some I'll go, I'm like, oh, this tastes
terrible.
Some
of them where they do like vinegar base where it's like soupy I'm like, ooh, what the hell is this?
Yeah, no, this one looks like a sauce.
Okay.
But it is one of my favorite honey mustards in town. And you dip the cheese fries in their honey because it comes with it.
Yeah.
So good.
Okay, that sounds awesome.
Best in town.
Okay.
And then.
Number three
is the breadstick things with beer cheese from 312 Pizza.
Breadstick things. So explain to me what that means. What do you mean?
So they're not usual breadsticks. I think they're made with a different type of dough.
Okay.
Because that place, 312 Pizza, is deep dish pizza.
Okay.
And the dough that they use.
Oh, it's Chicago's place, right? 312 Chicago or something?
Yeah, it's in Germantown.
Yeah. I know what that is. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
And the pizza's really good.
Yeah.
But like those breadsticks, man, they are fluffy and they kind of have like a pretzely taste with their breadsticks. So okay. That's why I say breadsticks-ish.
Okay.
I don't know what they technically call them on their menu, but with that cheese, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Solid. So
what kind
good.
Of cheese is it?
It's beer cheese.
Oh, beer cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's a spot, that German spot in Germantown.
Germantown Cafe?
No, it's, they have a bunch of beer, but then they also have like hot dogs and pretzels.
Oh, Von Elrod's.
Von Elrod's. Mm-hmm. They have a really good like pretzel and cheese type combination too.
They do, but this blows it out of the water.
Oh, that blows it out of the water. That one's pretty good.
The dough, whatever they use in that dough, man.
Okay.
Like it is, and it's so huge.
Yeah.
And it's fluffy.
Like one big breadstick, like one
no,
massive?
No, there's three big ones, but the breadsticks are like thick.
Okay.
They're like, you know, fat little breadsticks. They're not like skinny little ones.
Okay. Nice girth to the breadstick.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah.
Yeah, that right there. Yeah.
And then my honorable mention, which is not in the last 5 years because the place closed, but corn fritters from a place called Red Beans, that which I used to have.
I never heard of that. Okay. Oh, I'm not. Which all
you? Yeah. But have you ever had corn fritters?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
This place made the best corn fritters ever.
I love corn fritters.
They're so good, and not a lot of places have them.
They don't. Corn fritters are also kind of that in that family of hush puppies.
Yeah, but corn fritters are so much better.
They're so way better, but like I don't even see hush puppies that much at places anymore either.
No, I did find them at like a Quick Trip one time. Okay. Like the little place in it made the corn fritters, so I'd get them from there sometimes.
Okay,
and they do have them in like the grocery aisle, but they're just not the same.
Yeah.
So
okay,
that's my honorable mention, mostly because I can't have them anymore.
I know corn fritters are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had corn fritters in a minute.
I know, I miss them. I might have to learn how to make them.
Yeah, make them yourself. Yeah.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't have like a deep fryer though.
Because then you can perfect it yourself. We don't even have a deep fryer. You just can get like a pot and put a lot of oil in it and just make your own deep fryer.
Okay, I'm gonna explore this.
Yeah,
I love this.
Or just buy a deep fryer like at Macy's. They always have them on sale around the holidays.
That's true, but like then you have to store it. I have a thing with storing things that I really
have
don't
so
like.
So many damn appliances.
Yeah, I don't like to accumulate a lot of things.
No, I get it. I understand that.
Okay, what's your top three? What you got?
I think I'm going to take you around the globe. So we're going to start in Orlando. Okay. There's this place called Black Hammock in Oviedo, Florida, and it's on Lake Jessup. It's this massive river. It's the most populated gator, most populated gator body of water. It's a lake in, I think, all of the country or at least the South. I think all of the country. So many gators there. Like as you drive over the bridge, you can see there's gators everywhere. Eyes popping up, heads popping. They're just everywhere. And so they have this place called Black Hammock, and they have these amazing gator. They have this like a trio appetizer of gator nuggets that are fried, grilled, and then catfish nuggets. And it's so cool because it's on the lake. You can go like airboat riding and then go into the restaurant and have the food. It's like a typical kind of bar, not like a fancy place, just a regular bar restaurant. Food there is decent, but the gator nuggets are awesome.
Okay.
So delicious. I don't know if the place is open anymore because I haven't been there in probably like 15, 20 years. But I imagine it's got to be open because it's Black Hammock. Like, why would they not be open?
You're like, why not?
Yeah, well, Black Hammock. There we go. Okay. Still open. Restaurant, airboat rides, Lazy Gator Bar, still there. So anyone in Orlando, if you've never ventured and never tried it, or anyone in the area or goes to Orlando, is like, what do I do when I go to Orlando? Disney's great and all, but go to Oviedo, Florida and go to Black Hammock.
You know, I've never had gator bites, obviously.
Oh, really?
Well, I've been vegetarian since 8 years
old. Oh, that's right. God dang it. I keep talking to you.
But yeah. Remy did when we went down to New Orleans.
Remy ate gator nuggets?
the nice, kind lady at the bar that we went to kept feeding her gator nuggets. And okay. Remy loved it.
That's
loved
pretty cool.
Them. So Remy also endorses gator nuggets.
Okay. I imagine New Orleans is probably a really good spot for gator nuggets, too. Because mm-hmm. You got Cajun food, the way they probably bread it and fry it or cook it.
Yeah, New Orleans really is not a great place for a vegetarian.
No, not at all.
It's not a lot of good options for me.
No, it's not a friend. It's not a city for you at all. Unless you like drinking, then you're good.
Drinking and beignets.
And beignets, yes, beignets.
So,
I'm sure phenomenal.
I was good
there.
On those two things.
Okay.
Regular food, not so much.
Okay, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Maybe I just go. So that's one spot and one type. I love gator nuggets as an appetizer. I also really enjoy Where's my phone? I can probably pull some pictures as I think about it. There is a spot in Van Nuys, California, North Hollywood, and they have these things called ajarskis. And ajarskis are basically, I guess it could be a dish, but it's so small I consider it to be an appetizer. It's a pizza spot, but it's Armenian run. And so ajarskis are more like Polish, Armenian, that side of the world. And it's shaped kind of like almost like a canoe. And it's a canoe shape. And it's like bread on the outside. And in the middle there, do you eat eggs?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So in the middle, it's like pizza sauce. And then they put two eggs in the middle. And then maybe like some sort of like other sauce that makes the pizza sauce. And the bread, kind of like you're explaining your breadsticks, the bread is like fluffy.
Oh,
the flavor of the bread.
I love a fluffy bread.
Is so key. Yes. It's delicious. And then, and as you break it up, the egg yolk pops. And then the sauce. Oh my God. Ajarskis.
You know, I really didn't anticipate that to be the description when you were saying ajarskis. I thought it was like intestines in a jar.
Oh, no.
Like, I really thought you were about to go like some dark, like, you know, pickle's foot or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
when
yeah,
they do
yeah.
Like
some some hardcore.
It's really not what I was ready
Not that
for.
Hardcore at all. No, it's
okay.
Very more, it's kind of simple. I mean, you can make it at home, but whatever they do with the bread, that's the key is that that dough they use to make it. Because the rest of it's easy. It's eggs and some sort of sauce, but the sauce again.
A fluffy bread though, like just at any place is just underrated. If they got a good bread to like start you off, that's solid.
I'm in. Okay. You got me all the time. And then appetizers, do you consider like a tapas place to be appetizers? Because it is like bunch of appetizers.
All of it, I think you could throw it in there. We're getting real specific here, so why not? If that's your thing.
There's a spot in Oakland, but I think it closed down, Oakland, California, and they had these sardines. And it was cool because what they did is they made
it. Sardines are the little fishies.
Little fishies, yeah. And they
so gross.
Oh my God, it's so good though. The way they would cook it, I don't know how they cooked it, but they would put it back in the cans they would come from. So it kind of looked like you're eating sardines out of a can. They rolled it up, made it all fancy looking. But the way that they fried the sardines or pan fried them or something, and the seasoning they put on these sardines, oh my gosh, freaking believable. Like it was like eating chips, like sardine chips. It was that, the way they cooked it. Just
do they still look like the little fishies?
Oh yeah, still the little fishies. Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Somebody opened one of those cans in front of me, and I literally vomited it in my mouth. And I was like, I can't see that.
Really? But you eat fish, though, right? Oh, you don't.
I do not eat fish.
I'm so confused on like all the different like buckets.
I don't eat any animals.
Okay, gotcha. No matter what it is.
On any level.
But you eat byproducts of animals, though.
Yes. Okay. I will eat cheese and I will eat eggs.
Gotcha. So, but you want to eat the actual animal itself? No. I respect that. That's okay. I get it. Yeah. I get it.
I just never could get into seafood. It kind of grossed me out.
Okay, and do you you don't eat escargot then, because that used to be
a snail.
Okay, yeah, so escargot is a place, once upon a time in France, East Nashville.
Yes.
They have really good escargot there.
Okay.
Very good escargot.
For all you escargot lovers.
Yes, and then there's a place at Disneyland on the California Adventure side. There's a place called the Carthay House. And so that used to be a real spot in L.A. It's where Walt Disney did all of his premieres for like Snow White, all those things back in the day. And they made like a mock version of it. So right when you're walking into California Adventure, you know, you got like the Golden Gate Bridge right in front of you.
Yeah.
You go through that. There's that circular area where you can go to the left and it takes you towards like Monsters, Inc. and Rise of the Guardians of the Galaxy. You go to the right. It takes you towards that water ride and Soarin', or you can go straight and it takes you into like Cars Land and all that. You know, that little circular area?
Yeah.
Well, on the left-hand side, there's a restaurant there that has like a big tower on top. It's called Carthay House. It's a very nice restaurant. And inside there, they make some really awesome escargot. And their bread is really, really, really good. Oh my God, is it good?
Clearly, Scuba and I like carbs.
Oh my God, I love carbs. Carthay House. I was trying to see if I can show you a picture for you. But it looks like this is it in the background right here.
You
can't see it.
Probably saw it.
Yeah, so there's it right there in the back.
Yeah.
It doesn't even look like a restaurant. It looks like a theater or some sort of like.
Yeah, I was gonna say it looks like a theater.
Or
like
a facade, because they have a lot of facades where it's like, it looks like something, but it's not that inside. But because it is a theater, or it was in the real world, I think they knocked it down now. Yeah, I think they did. So they built this one, and it's a restaurant. So if you ever go back, I don't go back and revisit things. If you ever go back.
I will sometime.
Carthay House. It's awesome.
Okay. Solid. See, we dig. There are specific appetizers, but nobody would have known any of these things that we listed.
No, especially a place like Black Hammock. Oh my gosh.
No, I mean, yours were even more obscure than mine were.
Yeah. Well, I try to go descriptive and obscure.
But I like
and
that for
different.
You.
Yeah, thank you. I like that for me too.
And it was a good thing.
Yeah.
Especially because people travel all over the country.
Exactly. Or live all over the country.
To go.
I feel like people live in their city and sometimes don't expand and go outside and see things because you get stuck in your bubble. So if you are in that bubble of anywhere I talked about, pop the bubble. Go out for a little walk. Check it out.
Just pop it.
Just pop it.
Puppet.
Okay, I'm glad we walked down a specific appetizer lane. Yeah. Thank you for doing that with me.
Yeah, of course. Oh, and sweet potato fries. So, no, it's not really an appetizer. It's like more of a side dish.
So have you had sweet potato waffle fries from ML Rose?
Yes, those are really good there.
What did I tell
really
you?
Really good.
Who suggested that?
You did. I have a whole list of, like, when I first moved here, you gave me, like, places to go and try out. I think ML Rose was one of the first spots. I went to the one on the west side.
Yeah.
Sweet potato fries, unbelievable. And they have a really good honey mustard sauce that goes with it, too.
They do have honey mustard, but they also have a really bomb homemade ranch.
Yes.
Did you try the ranch?
Yeah, I tried all their sauces. I love sauces.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I love sauces.
They're a great casual spot. Like, if you just want to go somewhere and, like, hang out. Great casual.
I love ML Rose. Yeah, it's good. And they've expanded too. I've seen them all over Nashville now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're that good.
Yeah, they are.
See, I got some good recs.
Yeah, you do.
Even though I'm a little vegetarian.
You got some
That's
recs,
a burger
though.
Place too.
It is. I know. Yeah. By the way.
Just letting y'all know. Uh-huh. Okay. We did open up the rest of that palette that happened this week. How long does it take you to make like a big purchase? Like I'm contemplating getting a vacuum robot right now because Hazel, man, she sheds like
the cat,
crazy.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I kind of need a little help. And I might get a loan of those little vacuum robot things.
Uh-huh.
But it's a big purchase. And so I keep kind of sitting on it, thinking about it. It's been a few months now.
Do you have a Costco membership?
I do.
Okay, so those are usually always on sale at Costco for like $100 off.
Good to know.
So you should,
I was waiting for like Black Friday, so.
Yeah, so check on them. They'll randomly have, they have a sale once a month. Do you get the thing in the mail, like the little booklet?
Yeah.
Okay.
I typically throw them away.
Oh, well, you should typically not throw it away.
Oh.
You should look through it because a lot of times there's really good sales, especially on electronics and stuff like that, where they'll give you $100 off or $200 off. Or
I didn't know there was coupons in there.
Oh my God. Well, so what it is, when you go into Costco, they show you deals where it's like marked in yellow,
yeah.
But then there's some deals that are not marked and they're only in that booklet because they want you to, like, it's like an incentive thing. Like some of them are not there.
Why didn't nobody tell me that?
You have to read that booklet.
Why didn't nobody tell me that?
And especially around the holidays, they'll mark down stuff like vacuums and things like that. So I would definitely go to Costco.
Pro tip.
Do not buy that iRobot, whatever it is, that little circular, I know you're talking about, right? That little thing that goes around all day long. Yeah. Buy it at Costco.
Okay.
It'll easily be $100. I've seen it multiple times, $100 off.
Okay. I'll look there. But it's just taking me a long time because it is a big purchase. So like how long do you typically wait to make like a big purchase to make sure you really want to do it?
So I guess it depends on what it is and how big. So like for example, shoes. I like to go to the mall and buy shoes unless I can't find what I want. I know I got to buy it online for whatever reason. But like when I would go to the mall back in the day, like in LA or San Francisco when they had good shoe stores, Nashville, you guys suck. The malls here are garbage.
Tell me how you really feel.
Oh my God, the malls suck. I'm a mall guy. I love going. I like to tangibly take home my item that day. Green Hills Mall, garbage. Cool Springs Mall, even worse. Rivergate, I don't even, like, what is that? Like, the malls here suck.
What about Opry?
Opry, that one's okay because it does have
an outlet.
It's an outlet, so sometimes it can kind of be a little bit whatever with the stock and what's available. But they do have the most shoe stores there.
They do.
They have a Champs and a Finish Line and a Foot Locker and all these things. But even the Foot Locker here is like a half Foot Locker. I'm used to the full-fledged Foot Locker with the House of Hoops in the back that has like the exclusive shoes you can only get at House of Hoops and all that. So what I'll do, and you have to shop around because either for size, mostly for price. You'll find the exact same shoe at Finish Line over at Foot Locker, and it may be on sale because they have too much of it. So I will, if I'm looking for a specific shoe or I'm looking for shoes in general, I'll go to all the shoe stores. My wife hates it. She's like, we have to go to all of them.
Every them.
And I was like, yes, all of them, because there's different deals, different stores.
When's the last time you went to Green Hills?
Maybe 3 months ago.
Okay, well, there is a new shoe store in there.
There is, but it's not
like a sneaker one.
It's cool, but
I didn't know if it was open.
It is cool, but it's not like a. I like the traditional ones. Those ones are fine if you're trying to find something rare. But they're like so up or so. What is it? What I'm looking for?
Bougie.
No, they upcharge the hell out of them.
They're really expensive.
Because they're the guys that go in and buy the damn shoes from people like me online and then resell them.
Got it.
Or they have the hookup. They know somebody who's got a bot, and so they buy all the sizes of this one shoe, and you look on the wall, they got them all. Like, well, there's all the Jordan 4s. They bought them all.
So if you need, like, a really exclusive shoe, you may look there.
I will look there, yes. But I prefer to buy shoes the way they were intended to be purchased through a reputable store that sells them at retail price.
Yeah. Which is also why Opry is the best, because it's outlet store. They're a little bit cheaper.
So Opry is decent. That's the place I like to go to. My wife doesn't like Opry, though, because it's an outlet mall and it's too crowded.
It is always crowded.
It's a lot. And we have three kids.
It's a party out there every day.
I know. So I get that. I like going to a regular ass mall that's got all the stores that are supposed to be there, not 17 shutdown stores or a bunch of weird rinky-dink one pop-off shops that sell like stupid shirts, printout shirts and keychains or candles and incense and weird crap. Like, I want a store that I know of, I've heard of, that exists across the country.
Fair enough. So I agree. I do enjoy, like, the old school way of shopping.
Yeah.
It's also more fun than, like, shopping online, because you're like, I don't know if I like this, and then you have to send it back.
I want to try it on. Yeah. Especially clothing. Some brands don't fit the way that a medium or a small or an extra large or large fits other places. So I like to have it and see it and try it on. Oh my God, what a problem. What a concept.
You want to know my really fun date idea?
What?
Because you've been to Opry.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go to Opry and eat at everywhere in Opry.
Oh, like all the, like the food court stuff and all the restaurants?
Yeah, like all the little stores in the middle.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like also because they have a winery in there and a moonshine and go to both of those. And then like end up eating dinner at one of the main restaurants.
Heck yeah, that'd be so cool. It'd be a lot of fun. That's a really fun date because you can walk around also shop and buy things or we just window shop.
Just like hang out. Like because I admit, especially I would want to do it at the holidays because I love malls at holiday time.
Oh, me too. It's so much fun.
Like when they're all decorated for Christmas is my favorite thing.
Walk by Santa and see him. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just very like, you're very festive.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's my.
That's a cool date. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that I've ever been able to do it, but.
Well, you should find someone who wants to do it with you.
I'm trying.
You should put in your thing that says willing to go to the mall for a date in your bio.
I know. But yeah, cool idea.
Yeah.
So maybe
cool idea.
You and your wife can do that too.
Yeah.
You can let me live vicariously through you guys until I can. Make it happen.
Yeah, we'll go to the food court. We'll have a bunch of samples.
Yeah.
That's our appetizer.
See?
You guys want to try the orange chicken? Hell yeah, I'll try the orange chicken. I'll buy some. No, I don't want to buy some. We're going to try this one over here, too.
You also want to know the best cheese fries are at the mall at Opry.
Which one? What place?
It's like the Philly.
Oh, yeah, Philly Connection. Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh,
All I know is it's red and white.
Oh, I know it. Yeah.
And they have some bomb cheese fries.
They do. Really good.
I always get cheese fries and I'll sit in the food court by myself eating my cheese
fries.
Hell
yeah. And there's that German spot that I've been wanting to go to for a minute there, the Bavarian German House.
That's like full-blown German spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. I've been wanting to go there for a minute.
They also have a Rainforest Cafe and I love Rainforest
I've been
Cafe.
There a couple times. My kids love Rainforest Cafe. Went there for his birthday because he loves like
Did
the whole
thing.
Did
he get the big sparkler cake?
Yeah, we got the big cake. Yeah, the cake
and
everything.
Oh, that's the best part.
Yeah, it's so cool. And then they have the water one too, under the water where it's like you're in the sea.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
The aquarium.
The aquarium one. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's pretty cool too.
I haven't gone in it, mostly because I think they have mostly seafood, so I haven't been able to eat there. But.
Mostly seafood and meats and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but it does look really cool.
It's very cool, yeah. It's really, really cool.
Because did you ever watch the show Tanked?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Where they make it's that.
Yeah, my dad and I used to watch that show together all the time. So I always love seeing fish tanks, and I'll send my dad pictures.
Yeah, you should see what their menu's like and just go there and try it out.
I might just go for like a drink too.
You also can drink. It. Yeah, you can go to the bar and drink there. And then sometimes you'll catch it where there's a guy in there in a scuba diving outfit, and he's like cleaning the tank.
Is it you, scuba Steve?
No, it's not me. No, I hate to let you down.
Dang,
that
would have been too on brand.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, I could talk about it all day. Okay, but so how long does it make you take a big purchase?
So I guess levels, if it's shoes, it's a whole day of shopping to find the one that I want.
Multiple stores,
a whole day of walking around, checking things out. And of course, everything that happens in between, all the fun razzle dazzle. And then if it's like a medium sized purchase, which would then be what, like a car?
No, I feel like that's large.
Okay.
Medium, maybe a TV.
A TV.
Or like a vacuum robot, something on a big electronic.
Electronic. Okay. My wife and I would maybe take a few weeks. Because then we want to wait for a sale or find the right one we want or like pool some of our friends. Like, hey, what do you think about this one? Or like when we bought that handheld Bosch vacuum cleaner that you put on this like charger and it charges and it's hand. It's like not designed for like the best vacuuming, but it's good for like spot vacuuming. We have kids, so there's crap all over the place.
Yeah.
So it took us about a good 3 weeks to buy that because we were looking around and we found then Costco had the same one we wanted and it was on sale for $250 off. Like, dang, we waited for the right time.
Okay, that Costco,
so we got that.
Man.
Dude, okay. Costco, I think Costco sells things at what it's supposed to sell without the inflation. There's, of course, inflation happening there as well because prices have gone up at that store as well. But they sell their stuff at almost what it should cost in the world
without
greed and inflation.
Okay.
Which inflation is greed.
Shout out Costco.
Hell yeah. Costco's no, it's where it's at. And everyone's all trendy with Costco now when their sweatshirts and their hats and crap. I've been going to Costco for a hell of a long time.
You know
before it was cool.
Funny is I always went to Sam's Club because we didn't have a Costco.
Okay. Sam's Club's like a competitor because it's Walmart.
Yeah. And so we only had Sam's Club in Wichita. I think now there's a Costco, but when growing up, it was only Sam's Club.
Yeah.
And so I didn't ever know about Costco.
Oh, okay.
Until I moved to Nashville. And I just got my first membership last year to Costco.
Oh, yeah. Look at you.
It's right by my house. We do have a Sam's Club here, but it's too far away. I was like,
it is way out there.
I'll just go to Costco.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Not that I need it. I can't buy that much food by myself.
But if you like, if there's something you really like, mm-hmm. you can buy it in bulk and it's way, like, for example, if you like ketchup. So ketchup at the grocery store will cost you $5 for one, and it'll be like a small ass bottle. You go to Costco, you get three things of ketchup, and they're the massive size one, and it's like $9. So for $4 more, you get three bottles and like probably like 100 more ounces.
And have you had their pies?
They're like baked pies, like pie pies.
Like at Thanksgiving time.
Oh yeah.
Pies.
Oh my God. Yeah. I've had.
They're literally the size of like a tire.
Yeah, it's huge.
They're the best pies ever.
Yeah. So if you're going like to a family party or something, mm-hmm. You get more bang for your buck buying their stuff than you would go to the grocery store to buy it.
You're all right, but a single woman.
Yeah, I know.
It's a lot for me. I typically buy my like toiletry stuff there.
Toiletries is good. Yeah, because then you get more of it and gas. Yeah, or your favorite foods. They'll have that in bulk.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. There is a reason to have it.
Yeah. Or even like fruits and vegetables. If you like bananas, bananas are way cheaper there. It's only $1.29 for a massive bushel of bananas or strawberries.
Eat all those that fast.
Well, you can.
I'm not a monkey.
Well, you use them for like smoothies and eat some solo.
You're right. I'm not very good at.
Yeah.
I'm like one of those people who buys all the healthy stuff. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to eat that.
And then it goes bad.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so, because waste.
Definitely not good for me for Costco.
Yeah.
Okay, Cody Johnson was on the show.
Yeah, he
and
was.
He was great. He's always fun to listen to and hear stories.
Yeah, he's cool, yeah.
He's just like, he's like a wild card. You never know what he's going to say.
He's legit, yeah.
He's a good one. He's both one of our favorites.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We both liked him at iHeartFest. So this is my last question for us here, and this is my personal, not okay. Kevin from Iowa. What is the last Phantom song you had? So, and it may be like us working in a radio thing, but I had overheard on our speakers, like, Bailey Zimmerman's religiously playing. And I was like, okay, it's in my head, and I'm jamming. I was sitting in the car driving, and I hear that song, and nothing's on.
It's just in your head, like, religiously.
Yeah, I'm just, like, hearing it. And I feel like, and I, like, turn on my radio thinking, oh, okay, maybe it's, like, silently there. No, it's not on the radio in any type of way.
Uh-huh.
And it was, like, my phantom song that just kept, like, haunting me.
Okay.
Have you had a phantom song happen to you ever? And if so, what was it?
So I had one and it was weird because I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get into this, but it was like one of those things where I felt like it was the other side trying to contact me through a song. Cause out of nowhere in my head, and I haven't thought about this song or even heard this song in probably 20 years. It's a Billy Joel song. And it's like, whoa, for the longest time. Whoa. You ever heard that song before? And then there's a line that was stuck in my head, and it was like, I am something in the hall, like something down the hall.
Okay.
And I was like, let me see if I can find it really quick. Billy Joel, like the actual name of what the song is.
Piano Man?
No, not that one. That's a different one. Billy Joel.
New York State of Mind. An Innocent Man.
Oh, it's just called The Longest Time.
Oh, dang.
This song.
Google sucked on that one.
That song.
I've never heard that song.
And there's a song, there's a lyric in there, or there's a line in there. And let me just pull it up because I can't play the whole damn song because of podcast rules. But there's a line in there, and it's important that I say it because it's part of the story. The Longest Time, Billy Joel. And anyone who knows the song is like, it's this line. Well, I'm about to get to it. I can't hear you right now because you're not here when I'm recording this. But I'm looking up the lyrics, and there's a line, and this line stuck in my head, which is so weird.
Okay.
Something about in the hall. Let me just keyword search hall.
That's all right.
Here we go.
Google on
Oh, here we go. It was like, whoa, for the longest time. I'm that voice you're hearing in the hall. And so that line stuck. I'm that voice you're hearing
crazy.
In the hall. Whoa. And the greatest miracle of all. Dun, dun, dun. And I was like, and it was stuck in my head. And I'd just been thinking about my grandfather at this time period. And I was like, and that song stuck in my head. And I knew my grandpa as my grandpa. I didn't really know him as like how we are as adults. And so this could have been one of his favorite songs, or could have been his way to like get my attention. Cause then I was walking down a hall and that song popped in my head. And I was like, what the hell? And I was just thinking about him. He was just in my mind about, I think about him randomly. He passed away right when I moved to LA in 2015. And so he never really got to see the success. Like, he would always take me to like intern. Like, he was always there to help me like get to a place for work. Like, growing up as a kid, like when I was 16, 17, took me to school. He was always there to help me facilitate me as to get me into adulthood. Always give me the tools to be there. Never actually giving me anything, but making sure I was able to get to where I needed to be. Or had the confidence or needed a little pep talk before I went somewhere or whatever. So he was always there throughout the process, saw the infancy of my radio career, but didn't get to see the big pop when I went to LA and then was working with Ryan Seacrest, which he'd have been like, whoa, that's so cool. And so it was around that time frame. I thought about him a lot. And then things would always come up every once in a while. And then this was like maybe a couple years ago. I was walking down a hall somewhere. I don't remember where it was, but I remember when it happened, I was like, whoa. And I was like, started singing a song. I'm like, oh, that's a good song. I remember that song. And I was like, duh. And I was just thinking about him like down the hall. And I'm walking down a hall. I'm like, oh my God, I'm walking down a hall. I'm thinking about the song, singing a song that I haven't sang since the 90s, like when I was a kid. And it was just a weird correlation between thinking about him, walking down a hall, and then that specific lyric of the song, which is in the middle of the song, not the beginning or anything, whatever. I'm that voice down the hall. I'm like, well, this is so weird. So it was really, really weird to have that experience and be like, holy crap, it's just somebody trying to reach me from the other side in some way or some
grandpa,
form.
Yeah, visiting you from the afterlife.
Yeah, and then like I couldn't see him, I couldn't hear him, I couldn't feel him, but I felt him through that moment of hearing the song that popped in my head. And like you when you were talking about it, like when you hear it, you don't hear like you singing it, you hear the actual real song playing in your head, which is such a weird phenomenon itself too. Like that you can like hear the song, but you're not hearing the song.
Yeah, it was weird. Like you feel like your brain's playing tricks on you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because you hear it. Like you hear it how you would hear it. Like I'm like, that's weird that I hear it the way I would hear it.
And like it's nowhere else. Okay, it's not playing anywhere. It's just literally my brain playing it.
Yeah, and I didn't even remember that song. It just popped in my head out of nowhere. And I was like, wow, that's such a weird correlation of me walking down a hall, me thinking about him, and then this song popping in my head. Like, wow. So that's my phantom song story.
Yeah, yours is crazier than mine. Mine was just like a normal Tuesday. You're over here like, I got to visit my grandpa.
Yeah, mine was an earworm story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one, though. Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, you're welcome. Morgan from Wichita, Kansas, lives in Nashville now.
What?
Well, that's who the question came from. Shout out the question person.
I was like, wait, what is happening? Then you added, am I supposed to add the cities too?
Yeah, it's where they're from.
But they don't put it on there.
Well, then they need to tell you, or you have to ask them and say, hey, I'm going to ask your question. What's your name? Where are you from?
But I don't know that I have time for the where you from part.
But like if you pick four questions, it's like only three or four.
Sir, I don't pick four questions. Sir. Do you see that? Do you see this? There's like 15.
Or if you're listening right now and you're going to put in a question, which we should also state in the question and answer episode coming up, or as it already happened, or whatever.
That's fair.
Yeah, we should say, hey, when you put this in there, when you ask your question, put like dash Sarah from New Mexico.
Okay.
So it's easier on you.
That would be wonderful.
Yes. Okay. There we go.
Because responding to all of them.
That's a lot. I get that. You're right. I was asking a little too much.
But I do agree that I need to point them out. So I'm with you.
Okay.
Okay. We got to go jump over to questions now.
We do. Yeah. Okay.
And there are more than four.
Okay. Cool.
FYI.
All right. Cool. Go say that.
Hope you guys enjoyed this very long part one.
How long was it?
Probably our longest.
Oh, cool.
I gotta go. Okay, go listen to us on Listener Q&A. Bye.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Bobby Bones.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks,
Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.